Marcus and I had the privilege back in the autumn sometime, October, November maybe sometime, and we talked about the various strands of work that CAP do and whether this is going to be right for us as a church. So Sian's going to speak to us shortly, I think tell us more about the work, which will be fantastic. So I hope that this will encourage you and give us a vision for what this could mean for our church. It would be a challenge. There's no doubt about that. It would be something, a new direction for us. And I know that churches who have taken on some of the CAP work, they really have found it a challenge. But I believe we're up for it. We really are. This is social action. This is our gospel in action, alongside all the other things that we do. So, Sian, can I just pray for you you speak? Father God, we do thank you so much for Sian and for the work that she does with CAP, and pray that you will bless her work in everything that she does. And Lord, we know that you are a God who leads and guides us, and we pray that as a church you will give us a sense of where you want to lead us with this work. Thank you for Sian, and we pray a blessing on her in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Sian.
Thank you. Good morning. Just give me a moment to get myself sorted. Lovely. Thank you. Hello, everyone. It's really lovely to be here and to see you all today. And nice little drive over the bridge for free, which is still quite exciting, I have to say. So I've been with CAP for about 6-7 years now. I started as a debt centre manager in Bristol. I've been an area manager for about 4 years. And in the summer, I took up the role of regional partnership manager, which helps churches who are thinking about the ministry and if this is the right path for their church. So, yeah, lovely to be here. Thank you so much, Marcus, for the welcome as well. So hopefully the slide will come up. Fab. So the title of today's talk is about piercing the darkness, and I just thought that song that we've just sung was just so relevant, that we are the light. Jesus is the light in the darkness. He is the source of heaven's hope on earth. I just thought that was brilliant. So the Joseph Rowntree Foundation has had a little look into destitution in the UK. And I don't know if it would surprise you just to hear how many people are destitute in our own country, just down the roads, probably where you live, maybe around the corner from where you live. And destitution is classed as lacking two or more of these essentials. So shelter, maybe they're sleeping rough, food, eating less than two meals a day for a few days. They can't light or heat their home properly, lacking basic clothing or footwear or basic toiletries. So you might be, I was thinking, shall I do this as a poll? But I'm just going to go straight out with the answer here, that 1.5 million people in the UK are classed as destitute at some point in 2017. And that is 4.5 times the population of Cardiff. And that is quite a shocking figure of people who are living in darkness, basically, lacking all of these things. And it could be physical darkness in the fact that the curtains might be drawn, that there might be no money for actual physical lighting. But it's probably also emotional and social and spiritual darkness as well. If you've ever, maybe you volunteer in the food bank or do another ministry in Cardiff, and you've spoken to people who are in real poverty, how isolating that is. 50% of our clients for debt help when they were surveyed said they delayed approaching us for help because they were ashamed and embarrassed. Even if the reason for their debt was nothing to do with them or anything they could have controlled, maybe it was a relationship breakdown or a redundancy or ill health, something like that. And a third waited in secrecy for more than 3 years. So next slide. is just the image of somebody in darkness, and they could be anywhere in the UK right now. I recall going to see a lovely client when I was in Bristol, and as soon as I walked into her flat, it was as I've described, that curtains drawn, no lights, nothing on, and she had a little girl. And the little girl desperately wanted to play in the gardens like the other children, but she wasn't allowed because the mother was too afraid of the bailiff, that if she was seen out there, the bailiff would find her, and then all their possessions that they had, which were meagre, would be gone. So she frequently missed nursery as well if the threat of the bailiff was quite heavy those days. And we helped her, we worked with her, she became debt-free, and not long after that, I was driving past her house, and her daughter was playing in the garden. So it chokes me up just thinking about it. Her daughter was playing in the garden, and she was just sat outside, and the curtains were all open, and it was just like, wow. Pull myself together a second. So, some statistics. I don't know about you, but the 34% having contemplated suicide is the figure that strikes me the most. That if you've been broken and broken for month after month, the feeling that actually it's probably better off without me is really there. Another lady who I spoke to when I was working, she rang me one day and said that morning she'd seriously considered taking her own life. She was going to pour the bath to enable her to do it, but she had no money on the electricity meter. And so it was freezing cold, and while she was trying to look anywhere for some money, then she was drawn to thinking about her sons, and praise the Lord, changed her mind and rang me, and we went to A&E and she got help. But so often people are attempting or thinking about suicide because they just think the world would be a better place without me. My children would be better off without me because I'm unable to provide for them and provide the things that they need. And God knows the darkness and misery that poverty causes, robbing people of their dignity and as they struggle to feed their children. And this is not God's heart for his children. Because God is light. In him there is no darkness at all, as it says in 1 John 1. And in 2 Corinthians it says, let there be light in the darkness. We're just going to have a look at that Isaiah passage again. You might want to turn to it if you want to. It's on page 706. It's going to be on the screen as well. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To lose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you do the way away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and the malicious talk, if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry, satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. In John 9, Jesus says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he passes that baton on to you and I to be his light in the darkness, to take his words into the darkness of the lives that I've just described. Like the Olympic torch, he takes the flame and passes it to you and I. And he says, are you sharing your food with the hungry? Are you providing the poor wanderer with shelter? And I'm sure that many of you are in many different ministries that you're doing. So through CAP, we provide other options as well on how you can reach those people who are in your society, who may be down your road, who you maybe don't even realise are struggling or in any need. Provide the community for them to be around, to meet other people, and to not feel that isolation and loneliness anymore. I'm recalling another client who I met, who I was delivering a Christmas hamper to. And while we were putting the hampers together, one of the ladies says, oh, I've got a wallet. What should I do with this wallet? And I said, oh, I'll pop it in that one. He's a single guy. And I knocked on his door a couple of days later, and he opened the door, and I said, oh, how are you? And he said, you know, I'm not feeling that great. I said, oh, what's wrong? He said, it sounds really stupid, but I've lost my wallet. And, you know, it sounds silly, but I've been into Aldi, and I've had a look, and they haven't got it anywhere. And then I've been to any of the charity shops to see if they've got them. And he was on a really tight budget. And he said, they haven't got any in there, and there's no way I can go to, like, a conventional shop. And it's not that there was any money in it. It's just it was really useful to have that wallet. And when he opened his hamper and saw that wallet there, I just thought, my goodness, it's like Jesus being in this room. And he looked at me and said, how did you know? I said, I didn't. But God did. And how amazing to serve a Father God like that, who knows the needs, who saw him walking around trying desperately to find a wallet and thought, you know what, my son, I know how important that is for you. I can provide you with that. And God can use you in so many ways. Maybe you send a friendly text to somebody who's struggling and out of work, and a little ray of light shines into their life. Maybe they come into a community event and somebody listens to them and doesn't judge them. Another ray of hope comes into their life. Maybe they have an understanding through one of our life skills about how to cook better or how to make their money go further and how they can actually make healthy meals for their children. And that ray of hope comes in again. Maybe the jobless person has some help trying to tweak his CV and talk to other people about CV writing or interview skills. And that feeling of uselessness and despair of applying for job after job, suddenly there is again a bit more hope. For the family who knows that he shouldn't be buying cigarettes and that he should be buying something else, get some help with his habits, to find new habits through our fresh start. And there's hope again. And the person weighed down with debts and the bailiff knocking gets a solution for their debts. Again, that light shines in. So as part of our debt advice is one of our main ministries that we've been known about the most. It's been running for over 20 years. And Martin Lewis, who's a common face in the world of financial help, has said this: CAP is unsurpassed when it comes to debt help. Because we know it's not just about getting the paperwork together. It's about journeying with people. It's about the befriender coming on a visit with the centre manager and being there and sending that text and supporting them, maybe taking them out for coffee, saying, you're not on this journey alone. I'm there to help you and support you. So I'll tell you a little bit more about the services, the ministries that we have. So debt help, I've just spoken a bit about there. It's all done through volunteers within the local church and a centre manager from the local church, seeing people in their own homes. It's very difficult if you know someone or have been struggling with debt yourself. You'll know it's very difficult to get the paperwork together and know exactly what you need to do. And for many of our clients who you'll have met in food banks and the like, that's just really difficult. A, the getting the paperwork together, and B, then going to an advice agency. So the clients that we tend to help are often the people who are the most struggling, who find things the most difficult, and have that support the whole way through the journey is just invaluable for them. They're then given an advice letter, and then we journey with them until they're debt-free, be that through something like a debt relief order or a bankruptcy or through a repayment plan. And 93% of our clients stay debt-free. And I think so much of that is because of that support that they're getting on how to budget and how to change their habits, and also that lack of isolation, that feeling of being with other people again. So we also have other services, so job clubs who help people who are looking for work, fresh start for people with addictions like smoking, drinking, and life skills on things like cooking on a budget, low income, all that kind of stuff. And all three of those work together as what's called our group services. And the main thing about that is the three C's. The first one is community. And that one is just such a big thing of people being in community with others. You're not alone on this journey. You are there with other people. You're through this together. And often people within those groups go on to do other courses like the Life Explored course or other similar sort of things to find out about Christianity. They also have coaching as well, one-to-one coaching, where they can have some support from somebody along the way. And of course the course, which is different depending on the need. Next one again. Oh, I thought there was one with some stats, but no. Yeah, that's the one, thank you. Yeah, so that's just a few stats. 38% of the job club members finding work. And a huge percentage of these people have been out of work for at least a couple of years when they come to CAP. So that's just huge. We've been recognised by the DWP for the amazing work that we do there. And 37% of Fresh Start members reaching their freedom goal. Again, that's a huge, I know it doesn't feel huge, but if you've ever been in that scenario, it is huge, of being able to change your habits of smoking or excessive drinking or whatever it might be. And 23,000 people helped every year. So this is all brilliant, isn't it? It's all really great practical skills to help our community. But what is so important with CAP is not just to let those little lights of hope shine in, like I've mentioned, but the overwhelming flood of light that only Jesus can provide. At the heart of all of our ministries is the opportunity for people to hear more about Jesus, to be invited to church events, to be invited to things like Life Explored, keep looking at it and keep forgetting the name of it, just to have the opportunity to hear about what Jesus has done for them. Through our community work, through the group services, we often have on the final celebration the opportunity for people to hear a testimony. Everything is about the opportunity. Nothing is rammed down anybody's throats. It's just giving people the chance to hear God's message. And thank the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit who does the convicting and not us. John 12 says, I have come into this world as light, so that all who believe in me, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And 1 Peter 2:9, for you are a chosen people, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So if you're thinking, actually, I'd like to hear more about this, I'd like to be able to be that Jesus' light in the streets of Cardiff. I'd like to be able to be telling my own stories of how Jesus has used me in my community. Then do talk to Dave, who's going to be chatting just after this video that I'm going to share. I've also, if you could pray as well, that'd be really important always. So pray for St Mark's, please, as you consider the options, but pray for us at head office as well. And if you'd like to hear more about the work of CAP, then we've got these little sheets that you can be on our mailing list as well if you want to hear more about what we're doing. There's even a free book. There should be definitely a slide about a free book. Ta-da. So yeah, come and chat to me a bit later if that's something you'd want to do. But I'm just going to leave you with Tina's story now, who can speak far more eloquently than I can about how Jesus can work in our community. Thank you.